y'all. This is Heaving Bosoms, the podcast where best friends recap romance novels and other kissing media while rooting for snowmen to become real boys. Welcome back for part two, HBs. Over here at HBHQ, we're getting excited for our December movie night next week. On Friday, December 13th at 8 p.m., a bunch of our patrons and us are going to be doing a watch party, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be watching the new Lindsay Lohan Christmas flick, Our Little Secret. I'm very excited to experience the polite torture that Kristen Chenoweth is going to be doling out as that mother-in-law. Okay, when we left off in Hot Frosty, our sweet little bitty snow angel had just been given permission to get a big boy job. And it seemed like the heroine was growing? Or, like, healing, maybe? Look, she's a Christmas love cipher and she's doing her best. All right. Here we go. She gives him permission, and then she says, but there are ground rules, young man. She says, I drop you off, I pick you up, and you do not leave the school. You do not tell anybody that you're a snowman, and you do not tell them that you are the person the sheriff is looking for.
Yeah, that's almost verbatim, I think.
This often happens when recording, where I realize that I actively whimsy a lot of things.
Okay.
Like, I just make the choice when I'm reading something or watching something for, like, I didn't realize how much I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to take this where it is and I'm not thinking about, like, certain things. And then I am forced to sit and record on it and think a little deeper about things.
You're forced to reckon with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very much aware of the Born Sexy Yesterday, which is the best example I can think of off the top of my head is, God damn it, what is that one with Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich? Fifth Element.
Oh.
It's an adult. It's a sexy adult who is effectively taking on the personality of a child, and that inspires interest by people. And I will say that I'm like, I just don't think it translates to women, because I am not like, you know what, I have never seen and really would like a man I have to take care of like a child.
Yeah, a man I have to raise.
A man I have to like teach basic things to and be like, don't do basic things. Also, if I'm going to struggle, if I'm going to do a fuckload to try to just, like, make something not stressful, like, I don't know, you getting arrested, which she points out multiple times is, like, you would die, because there have been times where if he gets too warm, it's not, like, uncomfortable. It's, like, it seems, it is a threat to his safety, where she's, like, you can't even handle being indoors, like, in the diner for an extended period of time without being, like, unwell, because your body starts to kind of, like, react too strongly to the heat. So she's, like, it's not a small thing, you'll die, you won't make it. She says that to some extent earlier in the film. And then he's just constantly like, it's like, oh, it's so cute, because like he's just like such like an adorable little chaos monster, where he's just, she'll be like, don't do this thing, and he like, there's one where they just do it explicitly, they do it on the cut, where she's like, later on she's like, don't do this thing, and they cut to him going, I'm the one who did the thing, and like confessing the thing she just told him not to do.
So anyway,
the point is that like he's constantly working, and I get it, he's a child, you can't, I understood that he was a child, I just didn't notice that she was his mother until Melody pointed it out.
Yeah,
it's much worse.
It's very mom coded. Okay, well, all right, so the other thing, really side note, I'm sorry, because I wanted to talk about it when we recorded on Untouchable, Sabrina, We just recorded a Patreon episode about Cressley Cole's Untouchable, and that is the one where the lady is an ice fae. Oh, and so yes. Same situation. She has a really, really low body temperature naturally, just like he does. And in both of these things, their answer to that is to take layers off. But that's only what you do when you have a naturally warm body temperature. And I know this, okay, because if you're cold, if you emanate cool from the inside and you're in a hot space, you want to put on layers because then the cool won't escape, okay? And the reason, when I learned this was when we were, my mom was driving me somewhere. We were going to be there for a little while. And so she had to pack her six pack, you understand. And so in order to keep the six pack cool on the drive in Hawaii, she wrapped it up in a comforter. And I was like, but mom, that's going to warm it up. And she's like, no, sweetie, no. Keeps it cool. It traps the cool. It's like a cooler. That's what coolers do. It traps the cool. So all these times where she's like doing the 98 degree gauntlet in Untouchable, wearing just a slinky dress because she wants to, because it's too hot. She should be bundled the fuck up and then she'd be fine because she naturally emanates cool. Anyway. You
showed her.
And that's exactly what he should be doing.
I should be aware of that.
He should be naked outside and he should be bundled inside. Naked outside, bundled inside, and he'd be fine. Except in prison.
Well, obvious solution that they take is every time he gets too hot, he just goes and lays down in the snow.
Which is not conspicuous at all.
He doesn't lay in the snow. He goes out in the snow a lot. But yes, they are not subtle about anything.
He rolls around in the snow. He pours snow down his face. He's constantly dumping ice in his shirt.
I love it.
Yes, that's true.
It's so funny.
So he...
Okay, we do a montage.
We're going to zippy zap. Yeah. They do their thing. He's helping clean up set up this thing for the dance. And he gets... I said that he's been tenant zoned because she does decide that it refers to him as a tenant. After he's like, oh, the whole town loves me. You're in the town.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, love isn't in my vocabulary. My life is a mess. Uh-huh. And it's like, I mean, okay.
He's wearing blue cargo pants. And that's like the only other thing that I was disturbed by in the film. I needed them to be burned with fire and it would be okay with me if it had to be with him in them.
Yeah. So he... Wait, what?
It'd be fine if he was murdered for the existence of those cargo pants to be eradicated.
That's mean. If anything, she should be the one to die because she's definitely the one who bought them.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay,
yeah, put the cargo pants on her. She supplied his whole wardrobe.
Okay, no. I shouldn't kill any characters, but those cargo pants, I took 3 notes on them. I was like, why are they still here? Why is this scene still happening? I think because I had a boyfriend who was like, refused to give up the cargo energy that he was like, but listen, I liked these in high school, so I'm going to keep wearing them. And I was like, I can't get hard. Like, I need you to get new pants.
I love it. Okay, anyway. But notably, the other thing she says is that she's not sure she can love anyone because she doesn't know how to love herself without Paul, her dead husband.
Yeah.
And then he says that Paul would want her to remember how amazing she is. And then she says, I'm getting grief counseling from a snowman. And then I said, that's not grief counseling, ma'am. Why haven't you been to grief dumping. Counseling?
Yes.
What are you doing? And
but then specifically, he says, no, you're talking to a friend. Wait, a tenant. Sorry. And she says, no. You were right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
This poor man.
He's so...
Yeah. He does not...
Up, down, twist it around.
He's getting
around.
A lot of mixed signals.
Yeah.
Poor everyone. Yeah. No one's being treated well in this, so...
So then we have the new glass pane situation where he fixes it. He bought the glass and turns out she paid for it. And the fact that she wasn't immediately like, I can't believe you just put that on my fucking credit card. I'm horrified. A $20,000, again, rich piece. She has a black Amex. There's no way she doesn't have a black Amex.
Yeah.
And then he confesses to the store owners.
Yeah.
That he's the one who did all of the stuff. And
this is the cut the thing where she goes, just don't tell them. Like, you can help with them with the glass, but don't tell them that it was you. And then the cut, and he's like, it was me who broke the glass. And I'm just like, God, you just, it's fine. Now that I know he's her son, I get why he doesn't listen to her. So we can move on.
Yeah.
But the Christmas crone says, it's okay. No one can be mad at Christmas. Oh, I'm and sorry. What?
Your experience is very different from mine, man.
Yeah. If anything, Christmas is the time.
Yes.
For people for to all be all of
the feelings. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she looks at him and she says, you needed help. You did what you had to do. And now you're making it right. Yeah. That is how we should be treating people who are doing crimes of necessity. All right. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. We should just make sure that they are provided for. That would be great.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep.
Okay. So now the deputy approaches Kathy to show her a sketch of the streaker. And
he,
first of all, Ethel, she says, couldn't Ethel have given you a description? And he said, well, yeah, but we needed a description of his face.
A description of his face.
I have multiple quotes in this scene, so keep going, but I will cut it eventually.
So then by the, close to the end of the interaction, she's trying to distract him from not seeing him, like, replace the pane of glass across the street.
Can I introduce the what she interrupts his train of thought with? Because he's basically like, kind of seems like your friend. And then she goes, how does a bowl of soup sound? And he goes, huh,
honestly, well,
it'd be something like...
This is a moment where it's been a while since I have felt so seen.
Comedic fucking by genius. A
character.
So literal.
Explain.
It's just so literal. Yes. But then she's like, no, I meant like, would you like a bowl of soup? And he's like, oh yeah, just nothing too creamy. And then she says, what about a chowder? And he's like, oh fuck yeah, that sounds amazing.
That's and then the creamiest on his soup. Way.
On his way into
the building,
do you
have it written down as a quote? Because this is the other quote I have.
Rest a baby for good beef barley soup. And I was like, as a soup slut, Ed and I are the same.
The mixing on this was my favorite part because as you pointed out, but I want to emphasize, they mix this because she's like moving on. Like this is, he's moving out of the way of the storyline because she's going to go over and like save him or whatever. So we have now like the camera's focusing on her. He is in the background. The mixing on it is so low. So that is just a throwaway comment. I'd arrest a baby for a good bowl of beef barley right now.
Like, I loved it.
There is no way that this man, not the actor, the man behind the actor did not come up with that on his.
No, that was a riff. Yeah, that was impromptu.
I felt like the entire, also we did miss one of the things. I was like trying to finish my quote, but I understood that you needed to be seen, Sabrina, but I'm going back because when he does the what does soup sound like?
Popping.
Then he goes, well, I suppose if it were thicker, it would be more like. And the fact that he does a variation of soup thickness was like, I need a minute. This is like one of the favorite scenes.
It might be the best scene in the movie.
I think it might be, other than the fact it competes pretty strongly with the male bonding scene that's coming up in like 2 seconds.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that 90% of Craig Robinson and Jola Trujillo's scenes are ad-libbed.
Feels like it. The writing is so different. It feels like it. They're just it so feels like charismatic in a good
way.
Funny.
In a very good way.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Hilariously, the police station is the safe space of this film. Honest. So it's very unrealistic.
Until a murder happens in it.
And there's no way that Doug Judy, Sheriff Nate, that sunglasses, he didn't come up with that himself because he regularly puts them on and then takes them off. And then put the glasses on just to take the glasses off and say the exact same line again. Him looking off into the middle distance and everybody being like, what are you doing?
And, the deputy and him being just like, stone-faced,
him stone-faced not interacting with the deputy at all.
Yeah.
That is comedic genius.
I know.
There's no way he didn't come.
Yeah.
And it's clear they've worked together for years. I didn't know that they were in Brooklyn Nine-Nine together until I went down several rabbit holes. But yeah, it's they've got such good chemistry.
I didn't know it, but it makes a lot of sense. But can we move into the next scene, which is the grown man child sitting in a chair. So he's obscured when two middle schoolers walk into the dance space. Like they've been middle schoolers who had been established. One of them is the only other, like, basically, there are three people of color in this film. One of them is the sheriff, one of them is the cook, and this is the child. And he is awkwardly trying to ask this other character who's been in the background because they've been helping put up the decorations. He's asking her to the dance. And you can see that the interested, like, listening and learning by Snowman. And I love that after, like, so it's very cute. These actors are very charming. Like, well done.
They're so cute.
The little blonde girl who came earlier in the film, adorable, so sweet.
So cute. You know,
not an actor is my guess because it was rough. sorry for roasting that child. I don't mean to roast the child. I mean, like, she was very charming, but, like, as a human child, not an actor.
Yeah.
But anyway, the scene is cute. But afterwards, the thing he took away as they walk out is he goes, he's like practicing, repeating like or like what that kid just did.
Cool.
And he goes, cool. I'm like, yes, that was the important part.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, Melody.
And notably earlier in like in the montage, he's the one who introduces these two kids while they're decorating. Right.
I forgot.
And it's so cute. It was adorable. So then he has a big light bulb idea. He is going to ask her to the dance. But he needs to find out how to do that. He needs a father figure, everybody.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And Ed is that father figure.
He goes to the police station. He sees that the sheriff's murder board. And he's like, oh my gosh, are you taking pictures of everyone in town? He's like, yeah, let me grab yours. So yeah, he gets to add his photo to the murder board. But the point is that he's there to get Ed, Deputy Ed, and they go outside and then they have my other favorite scene in the movie. I don't want to hog all the best scenes, so go ahead, one of you. Oh, okay.
No, go for it.
So they go out and like it clips to them because the sheriff is doing like one of his one-liners because just never waste a, just take all of his one-liners. But the point
I'm sorry, he's saying I'm a cop in a TV show line. And then at the end of it, the deputy comes in and he's like, what? Who are you talking to?
Was that to me or?
And a very chagrined Craig Robinson goes, I didn't just Christmas.
right. I forgot about that. It's just
Christmas is the answer to
everything.
You're right.
Yes.
So then we get the Jack is getting Jack dating advice from Deputy Ed, and it's adorable. Ed's
how
make out.
You know that she wants
make out?
To kiss me, basically, and he's like, she'll have a look, and blah blah blah. And he's like, listen, there's a point where he's like, listen, you're a 10, and then Jack is responding. He's like, what? You're also very attractive. Look at your mustache. I love how you grew it only half down, only the bottom half. And then later and then, he references it when he's like, yes, my half-mustached friend just taught me to dance. Because he teaches him, like, how to know when she wants to kiss. And it's just, like, it's very sweet male energy moment where, like, just, like, grown men, at least by appearance, being supportive of each other and being there for each other. And I can't
but then,
get behind
poor
it
poor Craig
enough.
Robinson also, is forced to be a homophobe from the sidelines, which I didn't appreciate. They make Craig Robinson look out the window and see him teaching him how to dance and being like, what has the world come to?
Well, he's like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's just thing that's like, it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even take that as homophobic. I took that as... what the fuck is happening?
Oh, like, cavorting with suspects?
What are they doing? And that, I took this
I wish
as
that
a...
his line would have been, why is he cavorting with the suspect? Because that would have been nice. Because it is just an exact line that has been used throughout time to be like, what? Why are those men touching each other?
Right.
No, I get it. I see it now that you've pointed it out.
Okay, so now he goes home and she is trying to tell him a hilarious story from her work day. And so she's in the middle of this riveting story about some lady ordering the lunch special. And like a man, he interrupts her to be like, literally, but my thing first.
When he does that, all I could, my immediately, I was like, well, that's the end of this developing relationship, because I would never feel comfortable telling you a story about my life ever again. I would never, ever be able to just tell you about my day, because I would live in terror that I was going to be like, oh, you're too much with this story.
I'm bored by your story. Yes.
Like, that's how I took it.
I took it
and
as
he doesn't the rejection mean it that
sensitive,
way.
The rejection yes. sensitive oh, yes. dysphoria all in this world, in this person. Like, I'm never telling you a story again because you won't find it interesting.
I get it. I don't matter. I'm just here to be the recipient of your words. And that's what I took it as, because you had your own phase. I was like, oh, it's the end of his development. He's an adult man.
That's hilarious.
He has come from his chrysalis, emerged a fully fledged adult man.
He spread his wings to block out the noise of her story.
Okay, so he asks her to the middle school dance, and he says, I've been trying to lay low, like you said, but for once, I want to stand tall with you.
He hasn't laid low once.
I want to spread my new, brand new, fully formed wings and fly.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh,
so
God.
Now she's like, what are we going to wear? I'm sure I have some dusty old thing in my closet, but we should get you a bespoke suit. Is
whoa.
What we should do.
Well, I'm so sorry. Hang on. Whoa.
Okay, hanging.
She does look at him and she's like, I can't believe you're going. And he very importantly looks her dead in her face and says, I'm a chaperone, actually. It's like my job. And
he's,
I just
very
needed
proud
that
of
everybody
himself.
To know that
I forgot he
like,
said
just
that
the
I
way...
did not remember the tone. But
it was
kind of my job.
He literally went, it's kinda,
he's so proud of himself.
I'm an important man in this rich people commune now.
Yep.
I just needed to share that.
I was trying to move us into a shopping montage. But...
Same. Burner. Burner.
I tried to look up a sink license amount for Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. Couldn't. The internet would not tell me how much it is to license that
it's a
song.
Lot, I bet.
But like...
I'll bet it's...
Yeah.
Maybe it's
yeah,
not,
I would expect...
So.
I went both directions. Initially, I was like, you can't afford that. What are you doing? Does he know about this? And then I was like, wait, maybe it's not expensive because no one's been interested in a hot second.
I don't know. Okay. But she takes him on a shopping spree. All right. So we've already got the $15,000 express shipped window. Now she's taking him to get a fully... It's not necessary. I think I misspoke. It's not bespoke,
tailored,
but she's getting everything tailored for sure. Yes. And then once they're ready for the dance, he says he bought something else on her credit card. And it's a gift for her.
It's the ugliest necklace.
Oh, man. But we can't skip. Yes, ugliest necklace. But I think
it was also the snowman cufflinks.
Yes, the Pretty Woman homage scene with the snowman cufflinks at the end of the shopping montage scene.
I forgot.
Where he's got the suit and she does the snap thing. And if you look at her face, I don't know this to be true, but this is like the one time every time I watch it, I was like, I have to watch her face. Because it looks like the actress is cringing. It looks like she's like, this is so much. I don't consent emotionally, but I understand that it's my job. Like, she just looks so regretful when she does the snap of the box with the cufflinks in it. And
I'm gonna go back
Pretty Woman
and watch just that.
Or maybe she feels bad as character because she knows that she's about to be the first person to ever do this to this man child. And she's about to scare the hell out of him.
I mean, that literally, I thought, like, the only thing akin to this is, like, I've got your nose.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
She's sort of, I got your nose dim.
That's really funny. And... Yes, I didn't think of it. I was too focused on the distress of the actress. I did mean to wear my sequin blazer, because I will say, when the sequin blazer came out, it was silver sequin blazer, and I have a black sequin blazer that's, like, fairly
new. Honestly... Ooh. It's a crime that that's not what he wore to this.
I was so sad that wasn't his suit. I was so sad.
Yeah. I know. So anyway, now they go to the dance.
Wait, and I can recognize it's one,
unhinged.
One note. She ties his tie in that cutesy way, even though he learned how to roof from a freaking YouTube video.
Thank you.
But he can't learn how to tie a bow tie. Listen, yeah. You can have other romance. Don't do this fake bullshit with me.
Yeah, he's competent. Yeah. In yes. One YouTube it's like view, his one and he's skill. Got it.
It's like his one thing is that he like can pick everything up. Truly. Anyway, keep going.
And then mm-hmm. he does hand her the ugliest snowflake necklace ever and explains to her the significance of being a snowflake.
Why?
It's a snowflake because I am a snowman. Is that the quote you're looking for?
Yeah, that is exactly the one.
I wrote it down with 3 question marks. Why is this happening to us?
And then he says, it was pretty expensive, though. So if you want me to return it. And she says, stop it. I'm keeping it. And I'm like, can we get some specifics on this? I would be like, well, how expensive on my credit card, sir?
Black.
Like, let's.
Amex.
I just made it rain in that men's suit store on you. So I kind of need some specifics, but no, she's going to keep it. So they go to the dance.
We get to one of the best lines in the entire movie is that little boy that asked that girl comes over and he says, I brought a date to the dance. And that little boy says, oh, nice. Which one is she? And he says, the one over there, the adult.
The adult?
Yes. Yes. That was so good.
It was so perfect.
And wait, I want to do a shot thing. And then they cut to the adult, who is, you know, the main character. And it's a normal shot. She's in profile. She's talking to someone and interacting. It's like this candid shot. And then the kid's like, I also brought a date. And he's like, oh, where is she? And they cut to this sweet actress who is just dead staring the camera. I'm like, did you not have coverage? Did you forget like they were doing this? Like maybe she had one line that got cut that was like, I like potatoes or something. And like that's the moment before she delivered her line where she's talking to someone canonically. Because I'm like, that's the weirdest, especially because it comes right after the normal shot. I'm like, you've just demonstrated to me that you know how this shot is supposed to look. And then you just cut to this woman as though it's like a moving mugshot. It's so weird.
Dead. Dead on. And then she waves.
Yes. Yes.
She waves at
this poor, beautiful creature. There's nothing wrong with this actress. She made all the right choices. She was done dirty. Absolutely. And she is it's a very creepy shot and it's not her fault.
Okay, so he helps this kid learn to dance by dancing next to him with his date. And then he does a group line dance with the kids. And then she notices that the ice sculpture that they have on the table is melting and he is becoming more and more erratic. And so she thinks maybe he's got some heat stroke. And so she goes over and she goes, I think I need some air. Do you need some air? Let's go get some air. So they go outside and he's like, wow, dancing is so incredible. Wow, wow, wow. And then she's cold because she didn't grab her jacket. He cannot give her his jacket because it's
soaking
wet. Yeah.
Yes.
He's been melting in it.
So he starts rubbing her arms and is like, is that helping? And she says, it would if you were warm. And he says, do you want me to stop?
Body temperature.
And yes, that's the line. Good job, Melody.
No, you're great.
And he goes, do you want me to stop? And she says, no, which is like very sweet. But I would be like, yes, stop touching me. I'm freezing.
Also, like the fact that like he's right outside the door, ma'am, you could literally be standing inside and he would be able to hear
you.
You don't even have to raise your voice and he'd be able to hear you.
Yeah.
But then they do, that wouldn't lead to them almost kissing.
Yes.
And then him pulling away and saying, let's get you inside. Mm-hmm. And then the scene
where we all cried, it sounds like.
That I was not okay during, because she's like, did I do something I said? And he said, no. They're sitting on a bench and he says, no, it's been the best night. But the truth is, I don't know how much time I have left. And even though I want to fill every minute of it with you, I just can't help but feel like I'm being selfish. How so? because you know the pain of being left behind. And the more I fall in love with you, the more I know I could never hurt you like that.
Yeah.
I want to barf. Sorry. Just,
wow.
What?
It's so out of nowhere. And she did it. Sabrina is a fantastic actress.
Sincere.
She did it in an incredulous voice because that was necessary. But in the movie, if you haven't watched it yet and you're going to, be aware that it is well acted. It is like well written. It is.
It'll punch you right in the gut.
Well shot.
It, while listening to it, like when I'm like, I was like hanging shelves last night to deal with my stress and that scene came and I still teared up. Uh-huh. I'm just like, how dare you? How dare all of you?
I know. So then we've got Craig Robinson walking down the street, looking off in the middle distance. There's some 70s funk in the background. And he says, who are you? Some youthful prankster? Or are you a deviant, stimulated by the freezing cold on your naked flesh, longing to see the faces of the elderly horrified by your exposed nether regions? And then he bumps into a passerby and he goes, sorry, Merry Christmas. Oh, you like that. Don't you? You monster.
Sorry. I'm trying not to giggle over your incredible acting.
And then he does have the mind-blowing realization that there's an ATM. And ATMs have cameras, which bonkers that the camera can see all the way across the street.
Yeah.
Bonkers that the camera is not grainy.
I mean,
and bonkers
is,
that he didn't think about it at first.
That came to life. So I just want to say that like the movie has repeatedly told us to stop caring about the details.
That's
just
fair.
Advocating
that's,
a little bit for the movie.
So we zippy zap and it's now Christmas Eve party at the diner where she's now
away
free food.
I it was important to me that he's doing this 70s like noir monologue. And then he like kind of catches out of the corner of his eye the ATM and his tone completely. Does that
ours?
That
do you
thing,
have a
can
camera?
You imitate the? Does that thing have a camera on it? Like it was just so quick. He's
he also
so
notably
good.
Doesn't call it an ATM. He calls it like a money machine or something like that.
Did he? I didn't notice that at all. Oh my gosh! Okay,
it made me laugh.
But yes, you're right. Jack in the kitchen
the
with
Christmas...
fans pointed at him at the diner.
Yeah,
cafe.
It's Christmas Eve party time where the whole town apparently shows up at the tiny diner because again, there's only 30 people here. In this town.
And he is making a bathtub of eggnog. All right.
I mean, that feels like that feels like not enough eggnog.
No, he is whisking 24 eggs to put raw into a bathtub of eggnog.
How much egg do you need for eggnog?
This is the moment I remembered that there is raw egg in eggnog. All right. I whimsy that hard in real life. And I did not need the reminder.
Oh. I was today years old when I learned there's raw egg and eggs.
I just bought an immersion blender because I don't want to whisk by hand this year because I accidentally tried making eggnog when I was like feeling sick or something last year. And I was like, oh, crap.
It had chunks in it, didn't it?
No, it was good. It was just like the labor was so... I remember the labor as much as I remember the satisfaction of the eggnog. And I want those to have a more disparity tilted toward
you
eggnog.
You just awoke a very vivid, intense memory in me.
Yes.
Okay, story time. You can cut this, Mel. But I remember so vividly in high school, I decided that I wanted to get ADHD hobby. I decided that I was going to get into baking because I was watching Good Eats with... What's his name? Oh, God.
You can name him. You have the power. I don't know.
I also don't know that it matters.
Fluster Magoo is his name. Fluster Magoo.
Anyway.
Guy Fieri.
The show Good Eats, no. I love that show. One of my favorite shows of all time. But he made this recipe for chiffon cupcakes. And I was like, I'm making those. And so I did decide to make them. So a chiffon cupcake, importantly, is you have to make a meringue out of egg whites.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a handheld mixer, and about 1 minute into this happening, the mixer broke. And I decided that wasn't stopping me from making these chiffon cupcakes. And then I did spend close to 45 minutes hand whisking these eggs into a meringue for subpar cupcakes. And you talking about that just...
I triggered a trauma.
You did, because I remember I literally woke up the next day sore.
Yeah.
From whisking egg whites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, they're back in the kitchen. He's got that bathtub ready. And so she's like, I want to go outside. And she says, no, it's dangerous. You can't go outside into the diner.
I want to go into the diner because he's standing in the kitchen and there are multiple fans pointed at him.
So yeah, sorry.
Might have covered that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But like, that's just blowing hot air on him. That's not a thing that will help.
Yeah.
Yeah. The air is moving, though. So the sensation is that it's just cooler.
No, but that only works if you have a hot body because the reason that fans work is that it whisks the sweat off of your skin and it doesn't whisk, but it causes like
a wick.
You're just traumatized. All I can think of is the whisking.
You're looking for the word wick.
I hope can cut that story time because otherwise this trauma reference is not going
to
make
also,
sense.
It also, to be clear, that just a fan does not actually cause you to cool down. It gives you the sensation of being cool. That's why you can still get heat stroke if you have a fan on you.
Or if it's windy. I was this many hours old when I learned that. So thank you. You've done a public service for Nick and for listener.
If there's not actually something, like if you put ice in front of the fan to actually cool down, there's a lot of things you can do, but the actual act of just a fan. In fact, if you have a fan on you, drink more water. Because you will probably, like that, you are more likely to get heat stroke because you feel cooler, but you're not actually cooler. You're sweating more. It's also why people from humid areas check yourself before you wreck yourself in a dry climate.
Truly.
Listener, all three of us knew all of this.
This is a survivalist podcast, and I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah, PSA.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you're here for these life-saving tips.
I'm actually pretty bad about heat stroke, so this is good information for me to have.
This is actually great information for you to have, then. Yeah.
Okay, so now they go out there. She's about to do a big speech, but then Craig Robinson comes out of the bathroom wearing sunglasses.
It would be fine with me if she was about to do a big speech, but she starts big speech. Big speech is boring, but like they like let her do big speech, and it's basically like there you've not said anything.
No,
it's nothing, but like she talks for like five sentences before he interrupts.
The whole thing is saved when Sheriff Nate walks out and
of the bathroom.
People go, was he wearing sunglasses in the bathroom? And somebody else says, or she says, how long have you been in the bathroom? And somebody else says, he wanted to make an entrance.
It's so good.
He does immediately whip out a grainy ATM photo pulled from the video camera of this man naked and flashes it to the whole room.
And all the ladies get up to get a better view. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this big speech about like keeping people safe and we've all been wondering who was doing the crime and all of this. And then he gets mad at them because they don't appreciate his efforts on their behalf. And then he fully arrests Jack. Everybody's up in arms about it. And then Jack says, no, 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 it's okay. It's okay. I'll be fine. She says to Jack, Jack, don't do this. You don't have to do this. And like, that's not how our police state works. You know what I mean? Like, Jack has to do it. He is being arrested by an officer of the law, Kathy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you mean by that. And then as he walks out the door, Christmas Crone yells, he's different from us, Nate!
Mm-hmm. I would also like to note, this is one of the tightest things. There's not a single plot hole in the fact that he's being arrested because he could immediately becomes a thing that he's not being arrested for breaking and entering, which is probably the main crime, like the biggest crime, but she doesn't push charges on him. And so that's not the issue. The issue is that he was streaking.
Yeah. But that's a misdemeanor at best.
Yes. This is like kind of dark, so I will not get into it, but it says, well, actually you might even be able to see it. The cop sucks, which is not true. Because Craig Robinson is wonderful, but arresting someone on Christmas Eve is ass because you have to you can't get out for so long. Even if it's like an overnight thing, you are in jail for much longer. You're arrested for a holiday.
I really I like
I was upset.
This part because
I
it really does
happy about it to show... be
yeah. But I liked this part because it really does show sort of the arbitrary bureaucracy that people get caught up in and they get fucked by harder than you might think. Because like, yeah. A, mm-hmm.
yep.
it's Christmas Eve, so he would yep. have to stay there until the 26th because no paperwork can be processed officially yep. after mm-hmm. 5:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And then B, mm-hmm. she goes to go get him and she's like, I'm going to bail him out. How much is the bail? And Craig Robinson is like, well, it's $2,000. He just pulls it out of his ass. And that is also how a bail system works.
I'm so glad that you said that because my note is literally, this is a big reminder that I don't actually understand bail or how it works, which is a callback to the poor investigative work in that one Suzanne Brockman book.
Yeah.
So... Is this how it works? They just
no.
Bail's
extraordinarily arbitrary.
It is on one level. Bail is arbitrary. It's just not decided by the sheriff. It would be decided by a judge. And so he wouldn't even be able, in the real world, he wouldn't even be able to be considered for how much bail they would need to give him until the 26th at the earliest. But it is arbitrary like that.
More proof that this is a rich person commune cosplay. Everybody here is cosplaying what they would like to be, right?
Yeah, I was also going to say there are different sheriff rules than... I'm not that familiar with law enforcement.
You're right. But there are different rules between sheriff, municipalities and counties.
Whenever there's like a small town thing and it's like the sheriff on the badge, I'm like, well, I'm officially terrified because I just know it's a lot more Wild West.
Well, also, to be clear, sheriff is an elected position, which is acknowledged in this movie.
Yeah.
Sheriff is an elected position. This is...
And they
really
all hate
quickly,
him.
Though,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Really quickly, though, we do have to highlight Craig Robbins's comedic genius in this scene.
Yes.
Because he fingerprints him and there's no prints because he's melting. And so he's like, you're a sleeper agent. And then he says, you almost slipped through the cracks too, but you can't slip through my crack, amigo.
Okay. That is also up there for best line in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then she gets there and tries to advocate for safer prison conditions and
yep.
and him having access to life-saving medications/temperatures while in custody. And also how our system works. Craig Robinson is like, no, I don't have to deal with that. I'm not doing that.
Further proof that this is not a real town and this is just rich people cosplaying is that this is essentially a public building, a public, like, whatever, and that air is cranked up to 80.
That's normal.
In the weather, and that they can afford that electricity bill.
No, that's normal, Sabrina. In cold places, it's awful. Because you'll go from outside being, like, sub-freezing temperatures, and then you go inside because there's one system for the whole building, and nobody else can, like, deal with it. So, like, in schools, in other public buildings, it's really fucking hot.
That's not the case in this building.
Yes, it is. It's hot.
No. You see the thermostat in the room.
It's, like, 80
and
degrees.
And it's cranked to 80. Yeah, but, like, they can touch that. They can get to that thermostat.
I think that, well, I was...
No, I'm just saying it's hot like in real life.
That's fine. I'm just saying that the idea that this public service building, in theory, this is just proof that this... I feel like that's... I don't know. That's what I noticed.
I feel like
we've hyper-focused a tiny bit. I don't know.
We did. It's true, but I was also going to be like, well, it could also be talking about, you know, law enforcement's larger budget that they need. Moving on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not only that, but also the fact that that is a version of police brutality, jacking up the temperature in that building.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. And there's no check and balance for this. Mm-hmm. But she's like, okay, $2,000. I'm going to go see what I have in the safe. She tells him to hang in there because he is actively melting. So she goes back. She doesn't have enough cash in the safe. and goes back over there with the deputy and is like, just take all of this money. It's all I have. Take all of it. And he's like, ah, my hands are tied. You know, I feel bad, but my hands are tied. There are rules.
I do want to do a quick, I want to do a quick cut on and say that the things that have happened that are relevant to the next thing that happens is just that after he arrested him in the diner, the doctor announced, like, when the woman was like, he's not like us.
I forgot about
the
that.
The doctor goes, and someone's like, what do you mean by that? As Craig Robinson's already gone. And so, like, just the diner's talking to other diner patrons. And the doctor goes, he's a snowman that came to life. And I think that's close to the line read. And
it is.
Like, okay. And then Lacey Chabert was like, you guys just believe that he's a snowman? And again, I just want to say, like, I feel like the plot just turned and was like, yeah, we're just not doing this today. Like, I'm just like, I'm the plot. And I like, I don't have it in me to like explain why these people believe it. They just do. Okay. Oh my God. I'm on my period.
Well, no, because, because the server at her restaurant says it's Christmas.
Oh, right. You know, right, right, right.
It's always wild card times at Christmas. Who knows? Right. It could be anything. Right.
So now, what's the bail? It's 2,000. I have to collect bail.
He won't accept the amount of money.
She doesn't have enough.
The whole town of 30 people shows up. They pass around a hat. And then she's like, can I go get him while you're counting the cash? And he's like, no. And also, I'm going to have to restart counting because you're making me lose my place.
Shocking amount of cash in the pockets of a town where nobody pays for anything.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we don't know. Okay. So then he's like, you're $10 off. And out from the crowd, the little kid, the middle schooler that has befriended him the whole time, is like, hands him $10, and he goes, what, you too? And he's like, yeah, Dad. And that's when we find out that this kid is the sheriff's son.
Yeah.
And so everybody's like, these are your constituents. Your constituents are asking you to let him go, blah, blah, blah. And finally, he allows that to happen. They go in there, and the next shot is them carrying his ashen, limp body out of the sheriff's office and then putting him into the snow. The whole town is watching, children and all.
Yes.
And then Craig Robinson says, I'm so sorry. I didn't believe it. I'm so sorry.
I said, the sheriff is a murderer. Mm-hmm. He died in custody.
My note is that enough for killing a suspect in custody?
No. No, it's not.
But it kind of is. Like, people die in custody all the time with no consequences.
Realistic
to the police.
No, it's accurate to the universe that we, the timeline we live in.
It was finally the part where I will say, just because like I kind of want to get it out of my system, that like it's the part of the movie I had to pause to be like, this is the second time I cried, where I was just like, yeah, this Christmas movie is just like mimicking things that like people who are more vulnerable than I am in the world have to genuinely get through. And this is genuinely upsetting. And I had to like get up and do a lap and then finish the movie.
Yeah.
So
I have a lot of notes on like little things that I haven't mentioned as we've been going through the movie. Like I keep making jokes about blinders, but like I made the note and was like, okay, we're just going to continue this Christmas movie.
No, I just thought it was wild. Because it seems so tone deaf in so many other ways as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't tell what the movie was trying to do.
This movie, the entire time I was watching it, though, the minute we met Craig Robinson, I was like, it is a choice. One, for there to be such a cop law enforcement plot.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fucking main law enforcement person who is blatantly abusing the law, it is a choice to have that be like.
And that's no shade on Craig Robinson. He's fucking brilliant.
No, he was amazing.
I was going to say, it was a choice that he was a black man and that he was an extremely talented comedian.
Right. Okay. So anyway, so he's laying out in the snow and she leans over him and she says, I'm falling in love with you. I don't care how long it lasts. I don't care how fleeting it is. I just want to make the most of it while you're here.
He's literally dead.
He's already dead.
He's already dead.
The doctor literally shows up and she like, wait,
right
now.
This is the one good quote. They're like, doctor, do something. And she leans over and goes, you can't defibrillate a snowman.
Yeah.
Also, though, Do you don't know that?
Yes, she's not. You don't know she's not into what science. Organs are in there? She is a vibes doctor only. She's just like, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm going to get into crystals. But moving on.
And then we have True Love's Kiss. Here we go.
Yes.
Yep.
And she does kiss that dead body in the snow.
And my note is, does this turn him into a real boy?
Oh, God.
And it does.
Yes.
It does.
She also takes off the scarf.
Takes the scarf? I was like, even if he wasn't fully dead, you just killed him.
Well, but that's the thing, right? It doesn't. It allows him to become fully human or whatever. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's what does it. And so
she took the scarf out of selfishness, and the kiss is what woke him up, whether he had the scarf or not, and she was just being insensitive. But we can move on.
Oh, no, I don't think she knew that. I mean, my actual note in here is she's pillaging the corpse. So.
I will say, like, the overly serious, like, that was the other gut pinch. It might be because, like, I've experienced grief in, like, big ways in my life. And so the person coming up, I might cry right now, which is so ridiculous, but the person coming up, and it was like such a serious tone where he's like laying in the snow and he's being observed by all these people who quote unquote love him, moving on from that. And someone comes up and like grabs her arms gently and is like, he's gone. You need.
Yeah.
I had to pause.
Very triggering for me.
Yeah.
That moment where someone's like, for your own good, I need to move you away from this. It was it's so serious and it's so real so quickly and so fleetingly.
Yeah.
They want to use that word.
I will say I was watching and I was not prepared. No. Like, there's a lot of things in this movie that I was not prepared for in a fucking Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Saying like
the mortality talks every fucking, and I didn't say this earlier, but every time they were like, you don't know how much time you have. Yeah. Like, I'm going to make
it was a thing that I thought maybe discussing at the end would be good. Cause like there was a little bit of like, man, Christmas is when my, like the biggest loss I've had is my mom. And again, like, I'm not trying to get too deep into things, but I was like, Christmas time is like the time that is the most like that cut like echoes poignant. Always with like phantom pain, and like I can, you know, you feel the people who aren't here the most during the holidays, and the fact that like it was such a, when they didn't really do a lot, it was just like a motif. It was like a little she has a dead husband, but the talks around grief and like
her
the through
depression.
Line, yes, where it was just like this strangely, it was so underemphasized but omnipresent, and I was like,
I haven't done this since they died. When they said it's a good thing it was fast, she said
that was rough.
Yeah
She did say, I'm glad it was fast because he didn't suffer, and I was like, thanks, bitch.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Ooh, this was...
Christmas was my dad's favorite time of year, and it was one of the only times that he was, like, reliably always would, like, move mountains to be around. And so it's a lot. But, well, and then, and like you said, it's fleeting. It's like a motif, but omnipresent, because... Right after this beautiful moment where they pull her away to be like, you need to grieve, like, away from him. This is, it's too much.
Yes.
Then everybody else turns their backs on the body. And one of them says, the sheriff's got to deal with this now. The sheriff's got to deal with him now.
God.
Like, this is the sheriff's problem now.
Yep.
And I was just like, holy fuckballs. Anyway. Here's the thing. He stands up and he's like, Kathy. And we find out that he will not jizz snow now. Okay.
I was going to say his dick will not slowly melt through the process of intercourse, which is good for both of them.
Also really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole crowd cheers while they make out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like any normal average Christmas movie, they do cut scene even to the next morning, even though we all know that they went home and did some crazy shit.
I don't know that that's kiss. True. I don't know that he knows how to do that yet.
I feel like we looked in his eyes as an audience at the next scene, And we did not see that he had had the love of a woman, but that's my own read.
I think she took him home and popped that cherry.
Listen, there is a very different tone in the very last shot where they say Merry Christmas to each other and he kisses her again. Like, it does seem like he's matured a tiny bit.
There you
but
go.
I don't know. Anyway, so he gets her a book that's like how to fix stuff in your house. And then on the inside, it says, I figured out who your second true love should be. It's you. XOXO Jack. And then...
Wow. But not inside a hardware book.
Did you whimsy that?
Mid? No, I did see that.
Oh,
it,
okay.
Like, it gave me... It hit me in a soft part. But then mid-present
exactly
opening,
what I was going to say is that they...
She decides to go fix the heater.
It's not clear to us. What happens is he gives her this book. She sees note. Cut. She's fixing the water heater in the basement. And he's like... upstairs, like turning on the taps or whatever, and then he's like, yeah, it's working. What? She's like, I did it. I don't know, I don't remember. Whimsy, but she's working on the water heater or something. Who yeah. cares? She's working on
the
a thing in
the
basement.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need to fix it. And then they're like, yay, we did it. And then they're back at the tree. Like, I did, you know, before they cut back to the tree, there was like, wait, you gave her
no.
the book, and they're like, now we're gonna do a project before mm-hmm. more gift project. I was like, you do yeah. have to stop and use your gift every time you open something. This is a different tradition than I'm used to. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so then she hands him her gift, and it is 2 tickets to Hawaii. So, mm-hmm. like, how much debt do you think she's in after this movie?
Well, Amex Black, I've been convinced
debt.
By Sabrina.
I don't think she's in debt.
No.
What's,
no,
what's
because
the,
bullshit.
What's the spreadsheet
Here's
of costs?
The thing. Yeah, well, because first of all, the only thing that she would have not paid for in this movie is his suit stuff, because he orders everything else from the internet in the outside world. And like, it doesn't matter what they do in the cult. Other people require American dollars.
I'm fascinated that you think that city scene happened in town.
It was.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's next door to the doctor. Obviously. Yeah.
We saw skyscrapers, Melody. They definitely left the compound.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so then everything,
she
every
paid money
big
for
ticket
all of
item.
This.
Yeah, every big ticket item is on there. Is she like 50K in debt?
Just about, yeah. I think that's a good tally.
Minimum.
She's
minimum, spent, right?
Whether it's debt or she is just very wealthy for reasons that were not disclosed to the audience.
Yeah.
She
I think that this black $50,000 is
of costs.
Commune shared, and the accountant for the commune was like, what is this bitch doing?
Yeah, she's gone off the rails.
And then they because they have cameras everywhere in town on the commune, they put it together editing style, and they were like, we're going to release it as a movie and license it to Netflix to make back some of this debt.
Yeah, but like, when he commented, he's like, somehow he escaped all of the cameras. I was like, commune. This is everything points to rich people commune cosplaying as normal people.
Anyway, so the credit sequence is Craig Robinson and Joe Lotrujillo singing.
Well, first there are bloopers.
No, it's interspersed.
The bloopers are mid-song.
Is it?
They're, oh, yeah, it's interspersed.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. So they cut from like.
Pay. Bah, bah, not to something, not today. Here in Hope Springs.
And then Ed the whole time is like, in Hope Springs.
It says,
in Hope Springs.
Ed at one point says, Ethel and Mortimer has a dog covered in fur here in Hope Springs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's so
honestly,
good.
Mm,
at one point, he
great.
Plugs
Bring
the
back bloopers.
Go back. If you need clothes, go to Mel and Theo's here
yes.
in Hope Springs. Yes.
So good.
So, but interspersed. Is my third and final favorite scene, which was obviously not in the film. It is a...
Oh my God, it's a blooper.
It is
I
the whoops.
You.
Because I don't know the actor's name, but Deputy Ed is walking up. The scene where she's walking up to... They're walking through the snow across the city center. And he's walking up. And his line, I think, is... Ed, you're going to arrest him. You're doing this on Christmas Eve. That's the line in the movie. But on this take, he goes, you're doing this on New Year's Eve. And then he immediately stops and starts to turn around. He's like, it's not New Year's, it's Christmas. It would be a whole different vibe.
Yeah, a whole different movie. And then the next like, time he
without
comes up.
Stopping, it was so cute. Keep going, Mel. Next time he comes up.
Oh, yeah. He turns around, tries to do the take again. And this time he trips on the way up.
Oh, right. And, just so and he goes, and I did mean to. Or he's like, do you think I meant to do that? No, because I like turns around to go back. It was the best part. Stay for the bloopers or fast forward to the bloopers if you don't want to go through a whole grief process because this film will put you through it.
All right. What are your lady loves?
That is, I'll do my lady love first because just like last year, it's not very good. So I'll just jump right in here. Listen, this is going to be potentially unpopular and I understand if I need to be attacked and that's fine. But my lady love is, I don't know, go ahead and do the stupid thing. Like, just do the stupid thing. I've been doing stupid things where I'm like super overstretched. I want to do all the things. And so I'm doing all the things. I am barely sleeping. I am super stressed out. Yesterday, I had to not go to a meeting because I realized it took me a while to notice that my breathing was elevated. Where I was like, oh, I'm like kind of, I am really having a stress response. And I will say that like, I noticed and I wrote to the people in the meeting and I was like, I cannot attend meeting. Have good meeting. Send me questions. I am available by phone. I will not be leaving my home. And I wasn't like currently having a panic attack. But I will say that like I kind of last night was like a fun opportunity where I was like, okay, what do I need? And like I needed to kind of like do a little bit. I should have slept. Yes, is what I kind of like this. The very smart voice, like I saw her, she had like very stylish glasses on and she like removed them for effect.
I feel like that was influenced.
I think you are right and very smart and beautiful. And the point is that she was like, you should get some sleep. You're recording very early. And then I was like, I think I would feel better if there have been these boxes that I needed to install behind me. And it's not important, but it was important to me and they were surrounding me and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to install these boxes. And the other part is like, it takes care of the cats because they want to be able to climb on things, the whole thing.
Oh, good.
And I was up super late. I got like 3.5 hours of sleep. And I will say, yes, I'm very tired, but that was really dumb. And I was like, I'm so glad I did that. It was so the right choice. Like, I felt like an idiot last night, and I was like, what if this is a mistake? But I was kind of just trying to follow the vibe, and it really felt like the thing I needed to do. Like, I'm trying to just sort of stay present in the moment and say, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. There's an all-night singing party this weekend. Literally all night. It's an overnight thing. It goes from 5 p.m. to, like, roughly 5 a.m. or until, like, there are no longer enough singers for four-part harmony. And I'm like, I'm going to go to that until, like, unless something... unless I decide otherwise, but like, I'm just going to do the dumb thing. And if you need to do the dumb thing, I would just like to advocate. Sometimes the dumb thing is the right thing. That's how I feel.
All right. I like it.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Sabrina's
actually.
Face feels okay. I was like, Sabrina looks skeptical, but like she's trying to be supportive.
No, I'm agreeing with you internally because I've also used a lot of spoons on a lot of things that other people would be like, there were more important things that you could have used those spoons on. But you know what? They make me feel better. I just put up curtains. I'm moving out of this house. I'm selling this house in less than 6 months. And I finally put up curtain rods after they've been hung with command hooks for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Yes.
It's stupid. It is actively a dumb, like.
Do the dumb thing. Yes.
A sixth of the time that I have lived in this home, those curtains will be up maximum. But hey.
I feel so connected to you right now. Mm-hmm. I just need to do the dumb things right now. If I feel like doing dumb things, I just need to do them. Everything's so stressful. There's like, that's the only thing I can't control. I'm going to be stressed out no matter what. So I just need to do the things that I need to do, even when they're stupid.
I like that. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Mine is a riff on that. And that is, don't necessarily do the dumb things. It doesn't have to be dumb. If you want to, if all your brain can focus on is a low priority thing, then...
fall gardening
go winter, to winter prep. The low priority thing everybody. Okay.
Yeah,
do you have several podcast episodes to edit? Yes. Are you attempting to raise children in this world? Absolutely. Like, is there money that needs to be put places on a deadline? Yeah. But all I could think about, and roughly all I did for about 4 days, was take my car and my wheelbarrow around town to pick up other people's leaves on the curb in neighborhoods, and then come home and shred those leaves and mulch my entire garden, and build, like, I'm trying to build the soil in some places. So some places are like 20 feet by 20 feet of 6-inch deep shredded leaves, which is like three times the amount of leaves you would need if they were not shredded. Like, it's not, it was wild over here for a little while. And I am getting looks from neighbors. I'm it's a lot, but
I support you. I love this,
I had to
actually.
Do it. And if I didn't do it, if I wanted the same amount of mulch that I, if I had to like buy it or something,
a lot of money.
It would have been like $1,000 minimum.
Seriously?
This is just fiscally
$1,500 minimum. Yeah.
Well done, you. Yeah. I had no idea.
To have it delivered and everything? Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. I was just the nutter butter going
you
around and
to
picking
the movie's
up
budget.
Other people's trash. Picking through other people's leaf trash.
Doing a good deed.
This is a great example of one person's trash.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just mad at my
it's
township,
another person's
though.
Leaf mulch.
Yeah.
What?
But I'm very mad at my township because leaves should not end up in the dump. Period. The end.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Every township should be doing something like composting. I don't understand why that infrastructure isn't in there. And it just pisses me off. You know, like it would do so much good. And it would save so many beneficial insects. Like, because I didn't shred all the leaves. I only did it for the parts that I wanted, like soil to get built on. But otherwise, I left the leaves intact so that beneficial insect eggs and other critters and stuff would be able to develop over the winter. Anyway,
that sounds
do the
fantastic.
Low priority thing if you want to.
I feel like we're workshopping like one lady love, but that's
I feel
not
like,
true.
I feel like this is actually a high priority thing because I feel like that's time sensitive, right? Like otherwise those leaves were just going to be taken. So actually
it,
I
it
would
was,
argue that that's a pretty high priority time sensitive task.
Yeah. Well, yes. Thank you.
In, as
far
as time is concerned.
Right. Yes, right. As, yeah. Not like, only were they going to get picked up, but it was also going to rain. Like, and so I had to do it before the rain. It's also when I planted my bulbs. I got some bulbs planted, everybody. Ooh, it's going to be a spring treat, all right? Ow!
I love
it. I know, that one was so funny. I think the eyes with it was just, it was a very sexual, like, delivery of the word bulbs as well. Which I either loved
I planted
or
some
hated.
Everybody.
I got real naughty with it.
I think one of the treats of it is that I'm like, that was that was professionally delivered in a delightfully creepy but sexy way.
Thank you.
Mood.
Yeah. All right. Keep being a badass and love yourself as much as you love double-sided taping a scarf to your dick.
I was going to say, love yourself as much as you love somebody coming down a ladder.
Oh,
yes.
In a sexy way.
Yeah. That very
I don't know how
professional...
to make that like more charming and not horny because like all I feel is horny about it.
I know. It was so competent. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming down a ladder like that.
Love yourself as much as you love Hope Springs.
Yes. All right. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Heaving Bosoms. Next week, we're actually going to veer off the holiday path, and we're going to be recapping one of my favorite books, Get a Life, Chloe Brown, by one of my favorite authors of all time, Talia Hibbert. See you then. Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by me, Melody Carlisle. Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by the ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. That one small action is a huge way to help the show. If you want to get in touch with us for advertising inquiries or anything else, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram at heavingbosoms, on TikTok at heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult. See you next week.